Before I share this morning's scripture, I guess I want to talk just a little bit about King David. Do we know King David? When we think of King David, who do we think of? Some of you might think of the story of, what's that? Goliath. The story of David and Goliath. So when he was a boy or a young man, he was able to, with 5 small stones, he was able to overcome Goliath. And whether you read that story metaphorically or literally, this is a powerful story, isn't it? What other stories do we have of King David? Well, all right. I'll lift up that one that none of us, you know, there was that Bathsheba thing. Where David showed how manipulative he could be. Here he was. You know, another thing we think of when we think of David is that he wrote many of the Psalms that we love so much. But he could also be very manipulative, right? As we know with the story of Bathsheba, he arranged that Uriah would have his wife. But none of us have ever been manipulative, right? I don't know. I can admit that I have been. I have been, honey. If you'll just eat your supper, then I'll get you some ice cream. Yeah? We've all been manipulative at times, I think. Yes. In other words, King David is quite human. He's quite human. One of the things I admire about King David, and that I think that has been admired about him, is when he did do something wrong, he admitted it. Okay? That's one thing we can admire about him. All right, so this is a story. This is when, right after King David has been, he's been anointed as king. So he's become king. And now he has gone, where has he gone? He's gone to fight against the Jebusites. So, we find him. David and all Israel marched to Jerusalem, that is, Jebus. Jerusalem, Jebus, what do you think? Is that new to you? Where the Jebusites were, and the inhabitants of the land, the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "You will not come in here." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, now the city of David. David had said, "Commander," is he manipulating his officers a little here? I think so. And Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first. So he became chief, and David resided in the stronghold. Now, the stronghold is actually some caves that are around Jerusalem. And so, I'm just going to keep reading. Therefore, it was called the City of David. This is this place of peace, this stronghold, this place where he felt comfortable. He's in this cave. He built the city all around them, from Millo in complete circuit, and Joab repaired the rest of the city. This talks about how Jerusalem became this city of peace, and it started right here. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. And now the next few verses talks about how these three chiefs, they became his highest chiefs because they did some things for him. And then these three of the 30 chiefs went down to the rock of David at the cave of Adullam, while the army of the Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold. Again, he was in the caves around Jerusalem. And the garrison of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. So the force, the place of force, the garrison, was in Bethlehem. Now I have to lift something else up here too. Bethlehem. When we think of Bethlehem, do we think of a stronghold? What do we think of when we think of Bethlehem? We think of Jesus' birth, right? There's more than one Bethlehem in Israel, you know? Just like there's more than one Fairfield in the United States, there's more than one Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, well, let me tell you that Beth means house. It means home. Some would say house of God. So this is like saying hometown. Bethlehem or Bethany means hometown. Do you have a hometown? How do you think about your hometown? I'm guessing that you probably think safety. It's a place that you can go to and to get acquire that sense of peace, right? And so David said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Here he's become this king, and I think he's getting tired of it. A lot of responsibility, right? So he's become this, you know, this. There's been a lot of, you know, he's been fighting these wars, and it hasn't been that long, but he's still tired. Oh, do you ever long to just go home again? Do you ever long for that? Yeah. So he says, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, and they drew water from the well at Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they brought it to David, but David would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord. He poured it on the ground and said, "My God, forbid that I should do this. Can I drink the blood of these men? For at the risk of their lives, they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. The three warriors did these things. Now, how would you feel if you were one of these men? You had just gone. You had just gone and you'd broken through the battle line, and this would be, you know, they're in Bethlehem, right? And so they go right up to the city and they sneak and they get some water for King David, and then they bring it back to him. It's something like 11 miles, and they bring it back to him, and what does he do? He pours it on the ground. How do you feel? What do you think? Why the waste is a question from the scripture earlier. Why the waste? Have you ever felt like there was something in your life that was wasted? Have you felt like maybe there was a class that you took. Maybe there was a class that someone recommended to you that you invest your time and your money, your resources, to take this class. And so you took this class and you didn't get that job. It didn't benefit you, you don't think. Maybe there was a relationship. Maybe you're in a relationship right now that is it's just this burden that you're carrying. And you're feeling like, oh, this relationship is just wasting my time. Have you ever made an investment, a financial investment, and you thought to yourself, oh, this is going to be this investment, and I'm going to be able to get lots of money, and I'll be able to enjoy my retirement. But then this got wasted. And so maybe it's because you yourself wasted it. Maybe it's because someone else wasted something that belonged to you. But all of us have had to deal with waste that we couldn't recycle. Or we felt like we couldn't recycle. Waste. So let me tell you a little bit more about what David did. So this is called when you pour water on the ground to the Lord, you're doing this, you're not just wasting it. You're pouring this water on the ground as a way of saying thank you to God. It's a form of worship, a libation. This has been done by human beings from lots of different religions around the world. This is a way of saying to God, this very thing that is very necessary for my life, this drink or this food. Sometimes it's food that gets put on the ground. This is a way of saying, this I honor you, Lord. I honor you, Lord, with this gift that you have given to me, and I thank you, Lord, for it. And so this has been done. Many times people would go to the altar. They would go to the altar and they would pour out their libation there. And so this is what people are used to. And so that's the way this was to be received by these three chiefs. That David thought, oh, I can't drink this water. Here they've gone to all this trouble. I don't think he really was really asking them. He was just longing for his hometown nurturing water. And here is a gift. They go to get it for him. And he says, I can't drink this. They risked their lives. The way that it comes out is, okay, but David would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, my God forbid that I should do this. Can I drink the blood of these men? Because they had risked their very lives. Waste. That is sometimes seen as something different. Sometimes there's a retelling that happens of the waste. Kind of an anacephalosis thigh, if you were paying attention last week, right? It's a retelling, it's a reorganizing, a recapitulation, putting a new head on the problem. And so we turn again to this story that Phil read earlier from us, this story of the alabaster jar. And this is right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, so we know what happens right after, right? So when Jesus was at Bethany, he's at this house of Simon the leper, and a woman came to him with an alabaster jar. Now, do you know how big an alabaster jar is? It's about that big. It's not this big jar. It's this little tiny thing. Really, and it's usually really tiny. I've seen some of these. They've dug some of these up. Archaeologists have. And so it's made out of alabaster. It's made out of rock. So somebody was able to dig out the middle of this rock, and they turned it into a jar by putting some kind of a cork or a seal on it. And this woman dumped it on Jesus' head. Maybe, you know, when you think of, I'm thinking about it as this $500 jar of perfume. You know, those little tiny bottles of perfume that you buy that are really expensive. And so the disciples, they were jars of the perfume on Jesus' head when we could have given this. This could have bought so much food for the poor, for the widows. And it was the disciples that were complaining. Oh, one more thing. Right after this story, right immediately after this story, is the story of Judas. Immediately. Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and says, what will you give me if I betray him? Yeah? He's mad. He must have really been mad that Jesus was with, you know, he was the one that was keeping track of the money. He was the one that was keeping track of things. And he thought that Jesus was not doing right by this group. Why the waste? And what does Jesus say? He says, why do you trouble this woman? She has performed a good service for me. Now, this is one version of the story. In the other Gospels, he doesn't get it put on his head. He gets it put where? On his feet. It must have been really more frustrating for them, right? Okay, so he says, truly I tell you, whatever this good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. And we're still doing that today, right? Okay. It says, she has performed a good service for me. And then it's not long after that. You know, the signs must have been there that if Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he would surely be killed. Yeah? And so she is putting the oil on his head, that he might be honored in this way. But I want to talk about waste. Do we all have waste in our lives? Are there things that we have done, or there are things that other people have done to us, or there are things that people have done to our ancestors? Or things that our ancestors have done to others? There have been wars that have been fought. And no matter what side our ancestors were on, there is a burden that each and every one of us carry. I don't want to get too political this morning, but you know we all carry burdens. All of us do. Do you feel guilt sometimes? Do you feel anger sometimes? What do we as Christians do with that waste? What do we do with it? This is a model that Jesus gives us, that we can pour it out to the Lord. Have you seen the... I'm not even going to say it. Is there anybody in this room that sees something new? And if you already know, maybe don't say it. Is there anything in this room that you see that is new? Yeah? Okay, now say it. We can lay our burdens at the foot of the cross. And by the way, this new light behind the cross, I talked to the gentleman that helped to put that light behind the cross. And he said to me, he made an appointment to talk to me, He said, you know that line that goes around the outside of the cross? And it lines right up with the gold. What'd you say? That just kind of happened. It's beautiful. But we can lay our burdens. We can take our burdens. We can be an example. Our society, in fact, can I just say, leadership in our society is all about drama, is all about raising a cane. I think as Christians, we can model peace and justice. And can I just say that justice, or let me put it this way, peace does not come until we have justice. Peace and justice go together. But we are called to not create drama. We are called to bring peace. We are called to be peacemakers. So one of the things that we can do to model taking care of the waste that is in our lives and what we see in the world around us is we can lay it at the foot of the cross. We can pour it out as a libation. We can give it to God. Each and every one of us carries these burdens. Each and every one of us knows the way of Christ. Let it be so.